God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 28th day of March, 2010, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music this morning is provided by a quartet, and then our sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. It is entitled, Josiah's Choice. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings 22 this morning, if you want to head in that direction. 2 Kings chapter 22. Good to be back. Of course, we had a good time. Didn't realize Scott prayed for myself to get sunburned. That's interesting. We'll be doing some extra research for an outreach minister this week, and so if you'll be praying for that, I'd appreciate it. Amen. Now, it was great. Went golfing on Tuesday and forgot the sunscreen. Went to the clubhouse, and they ran out of sunscreen. And but you know, really, can you complain about getting a sunburn in Maui? I think not. I'll take it. Actually, the fear was I woke up this morning, and of course, you're a little groggy, and all that kind of fun stuff, and went to the mirror and looked in, and I literally looked like a fish. My face was so peeling. And so it was either scrub real hard and get rid of all the extra skin and have a red face or be fish man. And I chose red man instead of fish man. And yeah, it was weird. I went, oh, no, this is not good. But we had a blast. Good to be home. Definitely so. A lot going on this week. And we praise the Lord for all that's going on. We have, if you have not heard, Miss Georgine Morris did pass away. And the funeral is Tuesday. What a godly saint. Amen. And it's going to be more of a celebration, I'll be honest with you. She just served faithfully. If you knew Georgine, and of course you did. For years she served God. What a great godly testimony through pain, through heartache, through troubles. She never lost her faith in God. What a wonderful testimony. Even at the nursing home, so many people showing up, just going to miss her so much. We are too, of course. And her daughter's here, grandkids and sister right now. You be in prayer for them. The rest of the family will be in tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow. And 2 o'clock here, we will have that celebration. So if you're able to make it, I know some of you will be working, cannot, but those that can, you come celebrate with us her rejoicing with the Lord naturally. And we can't always say that. Amen. A lot of times someone passed away, you just kind of tiptoe through it. But we don't have to tiptoe through this one. Her testimony has gone before her, definitely. So you keep that in mind. Keep the family in prayer. And then Easter. Boy, I tell you what, our Easter revival starts Sunday. What an exciting time here at Central Baptist Church. Sunday through Wednesday, don't want to miss it. God has blessed us with salvations every single year. And we don't want to take that for granted. I hope you'll be praying all week long that those that do not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior will come next week and by faith accept Him as their Lord and Savior. God, like I said, we've had that blessing. So please invite friends, neighbors, families, anybody that you know, co-workers, invite them to come. I'm telling you, next week will be the easiest time to invite someone. You say, why? People go to church on Easter, amen? And that's not bad. That's a good thing. So, and by the way, if you're inviting somebody and maybe somebody comes, you haven't seen them all year, don't go up to them and say, well, it's about time. just say, hey, good to see you. Praise God. We are happy to see you here. And rejoice with them. It is a time when people think about spiritual things. And that's why we, for the last 5 years, have done a revival at that time. Why? People are already thinking about God. It's the resurrection. Amen. So we're going to think about it, pray about it. That Sunday be Celebration Sunday, and then Monday through Wednesday as well, great revival. Brother Hardy, I think, will really encourage and inspire our body towards a deeper walk. You don't want to miss it. So if you can, be here. It'll be a great blessing to you and your family. So a lot going on. I pray you'll invite somebody, keep busy this week, and we'll celebrate together next week. Well, hey, we're here to hear about the Word of God, and so let's jump right into it. Let's stand in 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, and beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, there are going to be two verses right now. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adoniah of Boscoth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Lord, we come to you now. And Lord, as we have been going through a series of doing a great work for you, Lord, and we've looked at our different commitments, Lord, and courage and the different areas, Lord, dealing with those commitments and character. And now, Lord, this morning, as we finish up this portion of that series, Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us, Lord, to learn to make the right choices in our lives, Lord. If we're going to do something for you, Lord, we must choose to do something for you. It's not just going to happen. It's not just in our destiny to serve you, Lord. It is choices that we make. So this morning, Lord, I pray to help each one of us to realize the importance of the free will that you've given us and the necessity of us to make the choices, Lord, to walk in your path. We thank you for young Josiah, the example that he has left us, Lord, and these words that are in your holy book that guide us. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Yeah, I was sitting there and I remembered our grand piano, beautiful piano we got as, of course, we moved in and for our music ministry. We praise the Lord for that. I remember those, we were evaluating it, being the pastor, just the overseer of the church. I'm involved in, of course, about every decision that takes place. And music isn't my forte. And so I rely on people who do have that forte to look it up and give me all the information and say, Pastor, I think we really should get this and why. And I'm like, sure, sounds good to me. So they gave me the information on the piano and I looked it up real quick. But I'll never forget the demo I saw on the internet on this thing. There was a young man, he was like 8 to 10 years old playing. He was playing Beethoven, Mozart, and all the other great composers. I mean, it blew my mind. Now I realized he was just given this natural talent. But the fact of the matter is he still had to get up and do it. And he's sitting there playing and playing. And I'm not much into music, but I was mesmerized by this young man playing this. And I said, wow, what great ability was given to him. And you look at that and you say, what great talent. And it was. It was just talent given to him, I believe, by Almighty God to do that. You take that. And so often, though, we look at things and we think everything comes down to talent. And I want you to understand something, folks. Not everything comes down to talent. A lot of things come down to just flat hard work. A lot of things come down to, if you want to be honest with it, just making choices to do something or not, and then pursue it along that realm. It's not all just talent. Sure, there are talent. Those that sang today, the musicians, some have talent, but others had to pick up the instrument, and although they had some talent, they had to study and choose to pursue that path. In other words, they weren't all born with this magical ability at 4 or 5 to just do something. That's rare. But everybody's been given something, and that is the ability to choose. Well, you say to me, preacher, I have the ability to choose. You have the ability to choose. Everybody can choose. Even in some of the most worst circumstances where maybe you're a prisoner or in your captivity, you still get to choose. If nothing else, you choose your attitude. Okay? So we all have choices in different realms. When we read this passage of Scripture, and if you just look at chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, and it talks about Josiah coming to reign at 8 years old, and verse 2 says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David, his father. And, you know, you look at that and say, well, of course. I mean, here's David, his father. And man, we know about David, what a great man of God and how he led. And boy, he was just a great leader for God and committed to God. And why wouldn't Josiah grow up to serve God? Well, I'll tell you why. David really wasn't his father. David was his great grandfather. And so a lot of times you don't understand the Old Testament and the lineage. You read a verse like that and you say, makes sense. Well, I'd like to back up to chapter 21 because actually it doesn't make that much sense. You see, in chapter 21 of 2 Kings, I'd like to show you something about young Josiah. In verse 1, it says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. By the way, Manasseh was the direct grandfather of Josiah. And so as we pick up the lineage of Josiah, this young man that just seemed he would walk and serve God because, well, hey, his whole family served God. So if you grow up in a family that serves God, how strange is it if you serve God? Well, it's not strange at all, except that's not how he grew up. You see, his grandfather reigned, as it says there, for, what was it, 55 years. Look at verse 2. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places, which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove and did as Ahab, the king of Israel, and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And if you go on and read in verse 6, he makes his sons to pass through the fire. I mean, he was a wicked, wicked king. Literally, he built altars like in our church building. It would be like if somebody came in and built altars to Buddha, to the Hindu gods. And over in this corner would be an altar to a Hindu god. And this corner, maybe an altar to some other god that the Hindus believe, maybe the sun god or something. You'd walk in and say, we're here to serve God. But wait, what a contradiction. You're actually defaming. It is abomination to be doing what you're doing to the very house of God. He had the audacity to go into Israel's house and put up false altars. They sacrificed children to false gods. He did evil as his father Ahab, who the Bible says was one of the most wicked kings that ever walked on the face of the earth. That was Manasseh for 55 years. The history of Josiah's granddad was he was an evil, wicked man. Well, what about his dad? Well, you go down a little bit farther and you find out about his dad. And I think you can pick that up in verse 19. Amnon was 22 years old when he began to reign. This is Manasseh's son, Josiah's actual father, when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, only two. His mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotba. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. Well, that makes sense. I mean, your dad was bad, so you're going to be bad. So that makes sense. And he forsook the Lord his God, the Bible says, in verse 22 of his father's, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. And all the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now, pick this up. For 50-something years, Manasseh the grandfather ruled, and he was wicked, wicked, wicked. And when the king is wicked, the land is wicked. When he dies, his son Ammon takes over at 22 years old. He's just as wicked. He makes it for 2 years, and his own cabinet, his own friends conspire and kill him. Well, then the people rise up and said, well, if you're going to kill him, we're going to kill you. And so all you have is murder and evil and hatred. But you know what I don't find in all these years, 7 years of reigning? People worshiping God. The leadership didn't worship God. Nobody was worshiping God. It was nothing but evil and wickedness. And then along comes an 8-year-old. He's sitting there one day and he gets the news. Your dad's just been slain. It's been a conspiracy. The people have risen up. We've caught them in and now we've killed them. And now all of a sudden at 8 years old, they bring him and say, guess what? You're now king. And they raise him up and say, congratulations. I don't know. We have any 8-year-olds in our congregation today that are not in junior church. Yeah. Anybody have an 8-year-old? Several of you have 8-year-olds. Can you imagine them ruling the world? Forget the world, just a country, huh? Can you imagine putting an 8-year-old over America? Woo, excited about that one. And then hoping they make the right choices. Really? But the only choice they'd make is everybody gets chocolate milk. I mean, what's the campaign for that one, you know? longer recesses, more chocolate milk. I mean, that's what I see coming from an 8-year-old in America. I wouldn't be excited, and to be quite honest, if I was being a political analyst, I'd say, well, how do you think he's going to reign, Bob? Well, I don't know. Let's check his grandfather out. Well, for 50-something years, he was wicked, and he built altars, did this. What about his dad? Well, for 2 years, he was so wicked, his own men killed him. Well, how do you think Josiah is going to reign? The exact same way. Let's just be honest. Our kids, don't they normally turn out like us? Rare exception. I mean, they're going to follow our pattern for most of it. They worship our God. They live the way we live. They follow the pattern that we set for them. And now here's an 8-year-old with all this pressure, with all this influence. And we read now in the next chapter, verse 22, as you read, in verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What? How does an 8-year-old, after 50-something years of history, and that's all he's known, is evil, stand up and say, no, 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 no. We won't serve Baal. We won't serve the gods of Ashtaroth. We will not go that route. We're going to serve God, the God of my great-grandfather, David. I'm thinking he wasn't taught that at home. No offense. I'm thinking he didn't get that from grandpa. Didn't get that from dad. Where in the world did he get it? I'll be honest. I don't know. I don't know. But somebody in the inner circle that taught him, somebody who wasn't his dad, wasn't his grandfather, somebody who had the responsibility to raise him up, told him about somebody else by the name of David. Told about all the great feats of David, how he loved God and served God. How he was a man after God's own heart and how God blessed the nation because of him. And I can imagine as he heard these stories, something began to swell up inside. And as he watched his grandfather and he watched his dad live wickedly and he watched all their immorality and all their ungodliness, something inside of him clicked. He said, I don't want that. And he chose something different for his life. I want you to know if you're sitting here today, I don't know what your background is. I don't know what your circumstances are. But stories like this remind us of one thing, folks. We have the ability to choose a different destiny for our lives. And if you grew up with a mom and dad that don't serve God and aren't faithful and aren't doing what is right, and they didn't take you in the paths of righteousness, and you're saying, well, I had no choice, I didn't know any better, and that's just my life, and that's the way I've been taught, and that's just the way it is, and preacher, that's just our lifestyle. No, 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 you can choose a different life. You live in America, folks. You live in the land of the free and the opportunity to say, I don't want that life. I want the life of like David, and I want the life of a Joseph, and I want to live a different life. I've watched as many people have grown up in families that didn't go to church. We've had great preachers come through this pulpit that whether you know it or not, they grew up as bus kids. You say, what's that mean? Usually if you're a bus kid, it means mom and dad don't go to church. Well, that's all it means. It means you have a mom and dad that really aren't faithful to God, don't care a lot about the things of God. And so they don't get up and take you to church. They send you to church. And we know often it's a babysitting time. Mom and dad just want a couple hours alone. And you're saying, you still pick them up? Yeah, we want the kids to have another chance. So we pick up those kids and we bring them to church. And they're in our junior church and children's church right now. And mom and dad aren't coming. And some of them are getting saved, amen. They're going to get baptized and start serving God. Brother Bill Prater comes and preaches for us periodically. Grew up as a bus kid in Liberal, Kansas. Today he's pastoring the church he got saved in. Pastoring the church that picked him up in a bus and brought him there. Has a mom and dad that did not serve God, did not care about God. And they prayed for years for mom and dad to get saved, for mom and dad to turn around. Have you ever heard their testimony? What a great testimony. But he said, no, I don't want the lifestyle of mom and dad. I want to serve God. And he did. Brother Sam Davison married Mrs. Davison. Makes sense, does it not? She was a bus kid at the church. What many people believe is the best preacher right now in our generation, Brother Sam Davison. His wife's a bus kid. You know what happened? She grew up, mom and dad didn't go to church. Mom and dad didn't care about things of God. She said, I want a different life. Went to church, got saved. Right into young Sam Davison. They got married. He became a preacher. And today, travel all over the country preaching God's word. Going to do a revival for us this next year. Praise God. Wonderful family. You ever heard of it? Wonderful. Guess what? Bus kid. What are you saying? I think too often we use excuses of why we don't serve God. And I want you to understand something, folks. Your past means nothing. I look out. Some of you have, we have over 50% of the church have been divorced. That's the stats in America. You got moms and dads who don't get along. You got mom and dads living different lifestyles. And I look at some of our young people, and you come from a split family, and maybe mom wants to serve God, dad doesn't, or dad wants to serve God, mom doesn't, and you're kind of split, and some of you play the middle. You know, you kind of play them, and you think this is so much fun. Let me help with that. That's the most foolish thing you'll ever do. Some of you use it as an excuse. Well, I don't serve God because mom doesn't or dad doesn't, and so I'm going to use this to just do evil. No. God's going to look at you individually, and if an 8-year-old boy, with all the pressures back then, without righteous people surrounding his life and a nation serving God, can say, I want to serve God, so can you. Which means if you don't, guess what? It's on your head. It's not anybody else who said, well, yeah, but mom and dad, they're hypocrites. Well, duh. That's a big surprise. I'm just going to tell you right now, if an 8-year-old that doesn't even have the amount of preaching and information that you've gotten even in 1 year at Central Baptist Church, he didn't have anywhere close to that, can serve God, you can serve God if you want to. I'm convinced we don't serve God, folks, not because of our circumstances, because we don't want to. Because we don't want to. If we get right down to it, folks, our past should never stop. Oh, I understand the influence of the past. We've done the studies, folks. We can give you the psychological study if you'd like. I understand influences. I understand the impact. Of course I do. Of course I realize even in my own life, different things, how you have to overcome in your life. But it doesn't mean that it has to control your life, folks. And that's where the problem comes. It doesn't mean it has to determine your destiny. Josiah said, I don't want that. I want something different. Turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. I want to read a couple things here on some choices. And you can find this in a couple places. It's in the rest of 2 Kings 22. But I like the writing in 2 Chronicles 34. So we're basically going to be reading the same thing. But some of the wording here just really pops out. 2 Chronicles 34. I like to take a look at a couple things here. At some of the choices that this young man Josiah made. And I hope that these will be an inspiration to you this morning for just a few minutes as we finish up here, that you can realize that if you're going to do something great for God, it's not because of your circumstances are just going to work out. You're going to have to choose to serve God. Josiah in chapter 34, verse 1, 2 Chronicles says this, Josiah, repeating, was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in his ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And I like that phrase. He declined, and it was repeated in 2 Kings as well, by the way. Says he did not incline to the right hand or to the left. Let me explain what that means. I always kind of put it this way. If I'm driving down the road and I'm going this way, there's a ditch on the left-hand side of the road, and there's a ditch on the right-hand side of the road. Quite honestly, I don't want to be in either one of them. We normally use it this way. One side represents liberalism, another side legalism. And to be quite honest with you, both of them are wrong. Whether you're an extreme to the left-hand side and you just believe in, oh, just God's grace and I can live however I want, I'm saved, going to heaven, it doesn't matter how I live, that's ridiculous, folks. It doesn't even match the word of God. Or the other side where, you know, you have to go by these exact standards like the Pharisees, and if you don't live exactly this way, you're wicked, you got to do it my way, or you're wrong. Well, that's wrong too. We believe in thus saith the word of God, amen. It's what God, it's called the Bible way. But let me help with this. The connotation here is very clear along this line. He didn't go to the right or the left. What the Bible's saying is he didn't do wrong, but he also didn't omit right. There's a big difference there. What he's saying, he didn't do wrong. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but he also didn't omit that which was right. For instance, I wrote down this. Some don't drink and go to bars, but they don't go to church either. You know, so they don't do wrong. Well, preacher, I don't go to bars. I don't hang around bars. Well, that's wonderful, but if you don't go to church, really, you're omitting something. Or how about this? Some aren't immoral, but they don't love their spouse either. So some go, preacher, I'm not immoral. I'm faithful to my spouse, but you don't love them. Let me help you. It's wrong. Yeah, I'm glad you're not immoral, but the fact of the matter is, the Bible says love your spouse. Very clear. Or how about this? Some aren't gamblers, but they don't tithe. I don't waste my money at casinos, preacher. Don't give it to God either. What I'm saying is a lot of times when we begin going down this track, we don't do what is wrong, but are we doing what is right? And both are necessary in the Word of God. And what he's saying about Josiah, he wasn't just a young man who avoided evil. He also pursued what was right. And he explains it in the next verse. Look at verse 3. In the second Chronicles in verse 3, it says, for the eighth year of his reign, so he's 16 years old, while he was yet young, 16 years old, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. He began. Now, stop right there. He's 8 years old. He takes over office. The Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. At 8 years old, probably through the instruction of the reading that he had as a young man, going through the Old Testament, maybe God had placed a godly leader in his life, but he still had to choose to follow him. And let me explain that real quick. There's a lot of you that have godly people in your life, but you don't follow them. In other words, I think of our young people that grow up with moms and dads that don't really serve God, don't live for God. You say, now what? Well, let me stop and help you. You've got probably the best youth director in the country right here with you. You've got other godly deacons and leaders that are in our church right now that can lead you. And if you'll just submit and say, I'm going to listen to their instructions, you could be like a Josiah. Just because you're not getting it at home doesn't mean you're not getting it somewhere else. Josiah didn't get it at home, but he got it from somewhere. And for 8 years, he served God. But now, let me help you. But even though he was serving God, don't miss what it said. It wasn't until he was 16 he really began to seek God personally. In other words, he knew of God. He wanted to live what was right. But he wasn't that close to God yet. He was just going through the right motions. Well, praise God for that. But finally, at 16, he says, no, I want to seek God personally. And he began to pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he began to really get in. And instead of just taking whatever the instructions were, he said, I want that God to be my God. Wow. Folks, would to God that we would get in our heart a pursuit for the things of God. That we would decide to pursue God. You see, there's a lot of things that we can't change in our life. A lot of things that we have no control over, as I mentioned. You can't change your parents. My mom and dad were there when I was born. Praise God. Most parents were. You know, but I didn't pop out of the womb and go, do I get another choice? You know, nope, no kid gets to choose their parents. When I came out, there was already one there. My sister Christine. Stuck. I mean, you know the audacity of it? Mom and dad didn't let me vote. I got no votes on who my siblings would be. I came out with a certain nationality, had no choice over it. Certain gender, no choice. But I would like to praise God for it. Anyways, there are certain things you don't get to choose. I didn't get to choose where I was born, what family I was going to be in, what nationality I'd be in. I didn't get to choose my height. I would have been taller. Let me help you right now. You don't dunk at 5'9 unless you're Spud Webb. Okay, I'm going to help you right now. It just doesn't happen very well. So, I mean, I would have chosen different, but I didn't get that choice. I've not spent the rest of my life crying about my height, my family circumstances, because I can't change those. Those are known as unchangeables. There's nothing I can do about it. But there are some things I can do. I can choose some things in my life. I can choose to go a different direction. And one of the greatest things, I can choose how I'm going to respond. One of the things I get out of this, I look at Josiah. He began to seek God. He says, I'm choosing to respond and to follow God. Folks, just because you're a Christian, let me help you, doesn't mean you're going to follow God. We've got the death of a precious saint, Miss Georgine. One thing that I cannot control as pastor is who dies. We can control how we respond to it. I can't control when somebody gets sick, and neither can you. But what you can control is how you're going to respond to it, react to it. There's a lot of things in life we have no control over. Nothing we can do about it whatsoever, except choose how we'll react to it. Young Josiah couldn't choose grandfather, couldn't choose his dad, couldn't choose their activities. But I tell you what, when he became king at 16, he did choose this. We're not going to live that way as a nation. And I personally am going to start pursuing Almighty God in my life. Listen, folks, just because you go to Central Baptist Church and you're saved doesn't mean you have a close relationship with God. That is something you choose to pursue. Okay? So often what Christianity has come down to in America today is this. Well, I made a profession of faith. Praise God for that. I go to church periodically. Me and God are like this. Wake up. I think for 8 years, this young man was going through the motions because he had an instructor to help them. But the Bible says when he was 16 years old, he began himself to seek God. He began to say, wait a minute. I really want a relationship with this God. I want to know this God like I've never known him before. And at 16, he made a major change in his life. Now, folks, if we stopped the story at 8, we all would have said, wow, what a young man. I mean, really. But now we realize, yes, he was doing right. But was he just doing right for right's sake? It seems that way, and praise God for that. But now he's not just doing right for right's sake. He's doing right for God's sake. When I grew up, I'll be honest, I was a good kid. Do not ask my parents. I'm preaching. It's my story. I was a good kid. Any questions? Good, none. Okay. Oh, really, I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I wasn't immoral. I was 11 years old. From 0 to 11, I was pretty good. Basically, though, because my dad's an ex-Marine, and he was about 240 pounds, and he was bigger than me. I was 90 pounds all wet, I think. And so Dad said, we don't cuss in this house. I never cussed. One time at school, somebody threw a table up against me. And I said a word that wasn't a cuss word. They thought it was. And they said, man, we're going to tell your parents. I mean, my eyes got about this big. And I thought, I have to kill this kid. I mean, if Dad finds out, I mean, I was that afraid. I am so dead. I never got in trouble at school. What a good kid. I was scared to death of my dad. That is so, you grew up with a dad that scared you? Still does today. Yeah, you betcha. You say, oh, that's so wicked. I tell you, I did right. I didn't cuss, didn't smoke, didn't chew, wasn't immoral, didn't drink. Now, once again, I realize I was only 11, but I'm sure it would have continued. But the bottom line, you would have looked at me and said, what a good kid. He's doing what is right. You betcha. But I wasn't pursuing God. I was just a righteous individual. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what, it does you no good unless you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your eternity isn't determined by how good you are. Your eternity is determined by, have you made the choice to seek God, the one true God? And as believers, many here, you've made that choice. You say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm doing good. But do you have a relationship with that God that transcends just doing what is right, that says, I want to know him? And for what we read here, these strong words, if he began to seek God, and you study the rest of his life, what you find is a young man that got into the book, got into the word, started listening. Later on in the very chapter, he calls for the scribes. He says, read to me the book. I want to know him. And he did. And his legacy is amazing. And oh, no, he's not up there with David. He's not up there with Solomon. But when you read his story, he changed. He changed the course of his nation and his family. Because at 8, he began to do his right. And at 16, he accepted the Lord and said, I'm pursuing this. And then in the same verse, take a look at it. What does it say there? And not only that, and in his 12th year, now he's 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. I tell you what, I love the excitement of youth on fire for God. Amen. I mean, really, there's nothing more exciting. One of the things I love about a large youth ministry is every once in a while you get a couple young people just excited about God. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about going to the ministry, and I praise God for our young men or young women who want to go to Bible college. Praise God for that. But not everybody's called to that, and we understand that. And that's fine. I'm not just excited about people going to Bible college. I'm excited about people serving God. Isn't that wonderful? I'm talking about young people just have a vibrancy about them and excitement about them. And now they just want to do something for Almighty God. I'm like, nothing excites a pastor more. I mean, because what's neat about a young person, when they get excited, they don't know any better. No. They just do everything they're supposed to do. I mean, when there's outreach, they show up. Why? They don't know you're not supposed to. No, when you get old, you don't do stuff like that. You just talk about it. You don't go on outreach. You just tell people it's good to do. They're so crazy. When it's time to pray, they pray. Oh, it's weird. They're when somebody gets saved, they're excited. They are strange people. Preacher, you being sarcastic, you're good. Well, yeah. But that's the neat thing about it. I mean, when a young person gets saved, there's this fire, this passion that's about them. And I see at 20 years old, he's saved and studying the word for several years now. And he goes, we got to do something. When you finish out reading chapter 34, he begins to purge the land. He takes those altars out of the temple. He goes up in the high places, begins to remove all this. And he goes on a campaign to remove evil and replace it with right. Wow. I thought about that and said, wait a second. You're going to tell me that an 8-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 20-year-old knows more than a 40-year-old? I think not. If an 8-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 20-year-old can decide to have great passion and serve God and live for God, why can't we? Can I help you? It's great to start in your youth, but where in the Bible does it say that you can only serve God when you're young? Oh, it's better to start when you're young, amen? Most of us would like to go back and start over. I'd like to hit the reset button, you know, and be back to about 12 years old where I can make better choices. Praise God for that. But guess what? I got bad news. It doesn't happen. We have no time machine. You know, we can't take you and zap you and take you back 30 years. You're where you're at. Well, preacher, I made a lot of bad mistakes. I bet you have. And I don't want to hear about them. I'm not a priest. I know you think pastors want to. No, we don't. But you don't understand, I've done this and this. That's between you and God. Take care of that with God. Well, how can I serve God? You choose to pursue a relationship with him right now. You get into his book, and like a Josiah, after a couple years, did you hear that? Not a couple weeks, after a couple years of study and learning and training, you develop a passion, and then you begin to purge things out of your life. See, he didn't just choose to seek God. As he's seeking God, he realized he had to remove some things. You know, one of the things we need to do is, as believers, we need to do some purging in our lives. We got a revival. You know what? One of the purposes of revival is next week. It's a great purging time. One of the reasons he was so successful is he realized there were some things that would hinder him, and he had to cut them out. Now, I don't have time in a message this morning to go through all that. But if you're old enough and you're wise enough, I don't think I have to tell you, the Holy Spirit's probably already put on your heart some things just by me mentioning that word, what ought to be removed out of your life. In other words, some things hindering your relationship with God, hindering you doing right, and you know you need to get rid of them. Well, can I help you with that? It's a choice. It's a choice. Well, preacher, you don't know how hard. It's still a choice. And it may take some time, but you have to choose, first of all, to do it. Hey, if you're an alcoholic, first way you get rid of alcoholism is you choose it's wrong. That's step number one. You choose it's wrong. Until you understand it's wrong, it's not changing. And you say, I'm going to change that in my life. You got a problem cussing? At some point, you got to say, cussing's wrong. I shouldn't cuss. And then you got to start pursuing, saying, I'm going to remove that out. Whatever it is. The first thing comes down to a choice. Can I help you? You just praying about it. God isn't miraculously going to come down and say, I remove all evil words from your brain. Man, wouldn't that be nice if it worked that way? I mean, you just prayed and God went, zoop. But God says, no, you understand. I'm going to give you the ability to remove it out of your life. Sure, you ask for power. Sure, you ask for, you betcha. But first of all, you have to choose and recognize that it is wrong and begin a purging process. I'm here to tell you the reason a lot of people don't see great success in their Christian life is they get saved like young Josiah did. They even choose they want to serve God. They'll even go to youth camp, make a decision for Christ. Praise God. They start the process, but they never go to step two. They never stop and purge their life. Folks, we've been fed a lie. We've been fed a lie in America, and I'm sorry to tell you. A lot of churches, a lot of preachers in America basically say this. Live however you want. Now, I'm not going to use these words, but this is what it comes down to. Their theology comes down to this. Live however you want. Just add Jesus Christ to it. That's not Christianity. Christianity is Jesus Christ comes in, and you let him change you. You let him make you brand new. And when the change comes, sometimes you got to purge. Now, folks, purging hurts. Oh, you ever have to cut something off? That is not fun. I mean, when you lose something and you got to remove something, that is one of the most painful things in your life. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's one of the best illustration I can use here at Central Baptist Church. We're a transitional church, I guess I could say it. I've always said one of the things that have blown me away the most about our church is how many people move. Well, sure, we put them on our blacklist and we hate them for a while, but hey, we get over it. But we do. People move all the time. And I'm talking about good people that love the Lord. I mean, it's not unusual to have 30, 40 people move in a year. I mean, a couple years ago, that was our average. 30 to 40 people a year. And when I say that, that's active members. Not to be mean, but if someone's inactive, I don't count that. You know, they haven't been here anyways. They're on the roll, but they don't come. And they move. There's no effect on the body. I'm talking about active members who come to church on a consistent basis. 30 to 40 a year move. Now, folks, when you have 30 to 40 people moving a year, that's called purging. And that hurts. Now, sometimes I'm going to be honest as your pastor. Some of those that move, I'm not going to lie to you. I go, thank you, God. That is so mean, pastor. I can't believe you said that. Well, then don't be bad. And I won't say that about you. But the reality, there are some. That's not a lot. But there are some. You're like, oh, God, that was gracious. But I'll be honest. The majority of the time, you're like, really? You chose that family? I mean, that's the family that had to move, God. I mean, seriously. There's nobody else in the church. You had to pick that family. And God goes, yeah. And really, if I were going to argue with God, I can't tell you how many times I thought, okay, I'm just going to tell you, God, that's a mistake. I mean, God doesn't know what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? You can't move that family. They're too involved in the church. And if we lose them, the church is going to be in trouble. And I can always see God up there going, really? Like, I don't know what I'm doing with my church. And I'm telling you, you realize every single time God has purged. Now, look at this. Somebody good, he's already sent somebody that he has prepared that's just as good or better. It blows. Sometimes it is somebody sitting in the wings that because maybe a position's filled and they have the talent, they don't get involved, and then somebody leaves. And maybe they're not as talented at first, but they take up that position, become a great blessing. Wonderful blessing. You say, what are you saying, Peter? That's a purging. See, we always think purging is just drinking and smoke. We always think of the bad things. Sometimes a purging is a good thing. God removes something good out of your life to prepare you for the future. Now, in Josiah's situation, most of it was pretty bad stuff they removed. Okay? He's getting rid of false altars, false worship. And as he's cutting these things off, God began to bless. And the nation begins to change. And it becomes a place that you want to live. All because a young man at 8 years old said, I got a horrible grandfather. My dad is wicked. And did you put it together? His dad was 22 when he began to reign. He died at 24. Josiah is 8. Okay? That means at 16 years old, the king had a kid. Okay? So he has this kid at 16. And goes on. In other words, wasn't exactly a good role model, for the rest of the nation. That's his dad. And he says, I don't care. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what is right. And I'm not going to follow dad or grandfather. I'm going to go all the way back to great-grandfather, to a grandfather named David. And I realize everybody's doing evil, but I'm not going to. I am not going to because I see what that produces. And I'm going to choose to follow God. And I'm going to choose to pursue him. And I'm going to choose to purge some things out of my life and begin removing some things out of my life so that I can get closer to God and do more for God. And when you read the rest of chapter 34, you find out that he called for the scribes that begin to read in the book. You need to read it. It's great. Matter of fact, the reading, though, is judgment upon the nation of Israel. It is so bad in chapter 34, by the time you get to the end, literally Josiah rents his clothes and is scared to death because he says, we're getting ready to be totally, matter of fact, we're getting ready to be basically almost wiped out by God because of our wickedness. Oh, by the way, sin has a terrible cost. I don't know if you're aware of that. Sin has a terrible cost. And as he prays and he looks and he realizes punishment is coming, an amazing thing happens at the end of chapter 34. A prophetess sends a message to him and says this, God has seen your heart. I love this. God has seen your heart. And because of your pursuit of God, and the changes that you've made. Are you ready? No judgment will come all the days of your life. He says your eyes will see nothing but peace while you're reigning. As a blessing from God because of your choice. Well, wait a minute. You mean all of the evil of grandfather? All the evil of dad? Josiah didn't have to suffer all the consequences? No. Hey, stop. But he would have. Did you catch it? He would have. 50-something years of evil grandfather, 2 years of an evil dad. Guess what? Judgment was coming, and Josiah was going to run right smack in the face of it. Except for one thing. He decided to change his destiny. He says, I choose God. And by sincerely choosing God, and listen, and living for him, God says, I'm stopping the punishment and bringing you blessings. You know what that means? You may come from a horrible family. You may have circumstances that are wretched. But if you choose today either to accept God or seriously start pursuing God, God in his graciousness can rain down peace in your life instead of disaster. And the choice is yours. And he gives stories like this to let us know that you have a choice on what's coming down to you. You have a choice in something. Oh, you can't choose everything. This doesn't mean no bad things will ever happen. Don't take the message that way. Don't be foolish. But I'm talking about direct judgment from God. Direct judgment from God was being stopped because they decided to pursue God. Folks, there's a lot of things you can't choose. A lot of things you can't change. I'm looking at Jim and Nancy. You poor sick people. They've been sick for like 3 months. They didn't choose that. Jim's not going, I think I'm going to have pneumonia for 3 months. That sounds good. And I know poor Miss Nancy as well. We won't go into all that, but what do you got, 25 more surgeries coming or something like that? She's got more kidney stones than I think I've seen in anybody. So pray for her. And I mean, just a lot. You can't choose those things. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, these are happening because we're, no. But you can choose how you're going to respond. You can't choose what you're going to, so what I'm saying is you can't choose everything that's going to happen to you. But you can choose how you're going to respond. And let me tell you this. If we're going to do something great for God, we have to choose not only to accept him, but to pursue him and begin purging things out of our lives and give it some time. And I'm telling you, the God of heaven will see, and he'll bring the peace of God that passes all understanding through whatever we go through. That's how you get the hand of God in your life. And you choose it. You choose it. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. Lord, so often in America, we just sometimes believe in entitlement. We're just owed certain things, and Lord, that's just not true. Even as we look at your word spiritually, Lord, just because somebody comes to a great church that you've decided to bless, Lord, doesn't mean that everyone will be blessed. The fact of the matter is, Lord, we must choose to serve you or not. And I think of a young man at 8 years old with circumstances that really, there would have been no shock for him to do evil. As a matter of fact, it's a total shock that he chose to do what is right. There just wasn't enough influence there, Lord, we would say. And yet he did. And he continued to make those right choices, Lord. 16 and 20 and even older, Lord, as he brings the book of the law and begins to follow your book and get into your word. What a wonderful picture, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here today, Lord, that has had a similar bad life, first of all, Lord, I pray for their salvation. Lord, they're not saved because they're good. They're not saved because they go to church. They're saved because they repent of their sins. And they turn towards you and accept you as their Savior. If they've never done that, help them to come and begin that process. Then, Lord, for many who have done that, Lord, may we re-choose once again to serve you, to begin purging things out of our lives, Lord, that are hindering our relationship with you, and make a choice to do that which is right. Lord, help us to make those choices that would honor and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, spoken to you this morning. We challenge you to come. Page 162. Lord, I'm coming home. Be good for us to even start before revival starts next week, getting our hearts where they need to be so that God can bless the revival. Lord, spoken to you about some choice, maybe not even we spoke about, but something in your heart God's been dealing with you about some choices you need to make. I challenge you to come today. Whatever it may be, salvation, baptism, church membership, just getting right with God. Beginning to serve God, whatever it is, it's not just going to happen. It's a choice. We challenge you to come. Page 162, as we see.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop by and visit. We are just 1 mile north of Ponca City at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.